Hey everyone, welcome back to Lifestyle Locker. This is episode 234 with Kelly DiNardo. Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. Hey everyone, welcome back to Lifestyle Locker Radio. We have an amazing guest today. Her name is Kelly. She's going to tell you a little bit about herself. But just so you know, we're going to talk a little bit about yoga, a little bit about headspace, a little bit about maybe even writing. So Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you. I love having our little pre-chat that we had and realizing that, you know, right now we're hundreds of miles apart, but growing up, we were probably 20 miles apart, which is really weird.
Small world, isn't it?
It is a small world. And having to reconnect through this digital world is pretty neat. And I think all of these things happen for a reason. And connecting with experts like yourself is one of my passions. And I'm glad we are able to reach out and make this happen. So thank you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. So let's have you actually give the audience a little bit of why you do what you do, a little bit of your background story.
Sure. So growing up, I always knew I wanted to be a writer. I don't know totally how that idea got stuck in my head in the first place, but I had my first job as a reporter when I was still in high school. And I was just very focused on that as a goal and went to college for that. And I moved from the New York area to DC to work for USA Today as a journalist. And I loved it. It was a good job for a long time. And then this always sounds so cliche, but my mom got sick with leukemia. She's been in remission for a long time now.
Okay.
And September 11th happened, and I just needed my life to mean a little bit more. I was on the entertainment desk, so covering a lot of J-Lo and movies, things like that. I needed it to be more. And I ended up leaving my job to freelance, and the universe has a giant sense of humor. So of course, my first assignment was for Glamour magazine, and it was how to get a better butt. And I interviewed J-Lo's personal trainer. I couldn't escape it. When I left my job, I got this great advice from another freelancer who said, just make sure you do something to get out of house every day. And I was, this is dating myself, but I was teaching step and sculpting classes at one of the local gyms as like a little bit of a side hustle and a little bit of a way to get out of the house every day. And I had a yoga practice that I had started when I still worked at USA Today. I was starting to train for my first long distance run, and I just got much more consistent with my yoga practice. And I was studio hopping all over town, and my boss at the gym knew that and asked me if I wanted to go through training and get certified to teach yoga. And I did. And so then I added that to my side hustle.
Okay.
And so I was doing these two jobs for a long time. One was my primary job, the writing. And then the other thing was just this little side hustle for a long time. And then in 2008 or nine, when the economy started to crash and a lot of the regular gigs I had, my magazine columns and things like that started to dry up and people were getting laid off and magazines were closing. And my boyfriend, now husband, said, well, if you weren't a journalist, what would you do? And I still to this day have no idea where the answer came from, but I said I would open a yoga studio. And once the idea kind of popped into my head, I couldn't really let it go. And within 6 months, I had opened up my yoga studio in DC, past tense. And thankfully, journalism is not dead. I think it's actually more important now than ever. And I do both jobs, still, and I always joke that I have two very poor paying jobs to make a decent job, but it's okay because I get to do two things that I really love. So
I think that's pretty neat that you're writing almost other people's stories, if you will, and then you had to have that aha moment where you started to write your own story way back before, 6 months before opening a yoga studio. Yeah. And I think that's a really neat journey, and I would love to have that visualization, that picture of how all this starts to happen. And I think it's neat because when under stress, when under tension, we tend to do one of two things, right? We either run away from a problem or we start to go towards an opportunity.
Yeah.
And you started to look for something that was soothing and healing, which is pretty interesting.
Yes. And they, for a long time, they felt like disparate jobs and disparate parts of my personality. And I ended up writing this story for Martha Stewart Living a couple years ago on happiness. And one of the keys of happiness is living a purposeful life. And one of the experts I interviewed has everybody write a mission statement. And I went through this whole exercise with him as part of this story. And it helped me realize that the two jobs aren't really disparate. They're both about being curious and about exploration. And it started to help me make sense of my own life, and these two different jobs actually go together quite nicely.
So. Yeah. You were investigating life.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I think that's really neat. So I know you have a new book, Living the Sutras, and I need yoga for dummies, right? That's me right now. And I want to bring this into the conversation because it says a guide to yoga wisdom beyond the mat. And for someone that has done very little yoga in my life, I have done it. And I do find a lot of benefit. And I was saying, pre-show with you that I love, after going through the whole practice, when they, I think, what do they call it? Shavasana? Is that what it's called? Right? Okay. And I get lying on my mat in my living room and, I can get hit by my wife because I start snoring. I get so relaxed, right? Type of thing. So there is definitely a mind body connection. I know that this is real because we all humans, we feel it, right? We sense this thing. So can you explain a little bit about what that actually means, beyond the mat, the yoga wisdom, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think your experience is pretty typical. I mean, as I mentioned, my practice became much more consistent when I started running more regularly. But the thing is, you stay on the mat for that, all those other reasons. And you're starting to hint at that like relaxation and the mind body connection. Mm-hmm. So, the physical part of yoga that we know now is just one very small part of it. So the Yoga Sutras is this foundational text that was written 2000 years ago. And we don't know a lot about the person who wrote it, or people. That wasn't the invention or start of yoga. Basically what they did was codify this oral tradition that had been passed on. And in doing so, they talk about eight limbs of yoga, and the asana or the physical part is only one small bit of it. So the other components would be, there's a moral code, essentially, there's 10 of them. So people often call it the 10 commandments of yoga, which I don't like because it feels very dogmatic, but basically they're guidelines for how to interact with the world and others and treat yourself. And then there's asana, which is the physical portion, and then pranayama or breath work and controlling your breath and kind of regulating it as a way of going deeper in. And then there's one that is basically the first step of concentration, but being able to work on controlling your senses and your sensory awareness, I guess would be the best way to put it. And then the last three of this whole eight-limb system are actually different stages of meditation. Yoga is actually, and the postures is actually just a way of working inward to calm the chaos of our minds. And that's just one step in it, but that's what it actually is.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, when, as a chiropractor, and I've mentioned this on other shows, so if some of these people may have heard it, but we practice something called present time consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that, it sounds almost like that's what you're saying. You know, I can't walk into a room with a patient and be thinking about my mortgage. Like no. Those two things are not in alignment. No pun intended. Those are not in alignment. So if I'm not 100% there with the person that's there, you know, I'm doing myself an injustice and them.
Right.
So like, that's something we really like, and we have our cues in our practice for ourselves, like holding on the door and saying it's showtime every time we walk into a room with a patient in our heads, just so we're, it's focus and present right. time consciousness. So it sounds like I'm putting it like in this little circle of, you know, I think, but that's what it sounds like to me.
No. And I think that's perfect way of looking at it. So a lot of people compare it to the flow state. I mean, Amy, my co-author, and I compare it to the flow state in the book, but that point where you are fully focused and engaged and in the present moment, and you have that zen state because you're in that flow period, that's essentially what we're going for with yoga, to learn how to be in that and to be in that more often in our regular life.
Yeah.
And so if that's the actual definition of yoga, at least according to the Yoga Sutras, then you, when you're on, I'm guessing as a ultra marathon runner, when you go on a nice long run and you get lost in that and you're in that state, that actually would count as your yoga practice.
Okay. So, I guess it makes sense, right?
You know, from a mind body perspective,
yeah.
If you're in that conscious state, then that would be yoga.
That's pretty neat. I always tell people like, how do you run that long? I go, well, you have to break through. It's not like, oh yay, I'm running, but it becomes a mind game. I tell people, you first run with your body.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a head game. And then it becomes a heart game after that, because everything up here wants to break down as well. Once you start to really get lost in your own mind, then it just becomes a heart game. And it's just like, you're one with, and it sounds cheesy, but like one with the universe. And I can just feel like I can just keep going.
That's not cheesy at all. You entirely just described yoga as that. I mean, that's the order of the eight limbs is important, right? Mm-hmm. Like first you figure out how you interact with the world, and then you start dealing with your body, and then you go inward and you start dealing with your mind, and then you go inward and you're dealing with your spirit and your soul. And I mean, you just perfectly described yoga.
Oh, cool. So I've been practicing yoga longer than you thought.
Exactly.
In a different version.
In a different way. Right.
That's really interesting. And I think that's a great way for people to look at yoga differently now. It becomes a perspective on how you do things and how you see things and interact maybe with people and even yourself, mm-hmm. right, throughout your life. And so I'm just trying to think how to phrase this here. So if someone picks up your book, like I'm not I am a yoga person, obviously. Right. But if I wasn't a yoga person, what would you say to the person, say like, this is something that's beneficial because of.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this is a philosophy, and it is one way to examine who you are and to start to understand yourself better. And to the whole point of it is to help you understand what your true purpose is in life, and then how you can live that with ease, with joy. I mean, this is a book that, and a practice that should make you happier, generally speaking.
Yeah. But sometimes you may have to go through a dark place to get there.
Yes. I mean, I think most of us do. But, you know, in yoga, we talk about, it's called Dharma, and we believe that each person has a unique Dharma or purpose that they're here on this world to live. And we believe that when you understand that and live that, you're really truly happy. And it's interesting because that's a lot of what psychology and neuroscience has actually proven, you know, which I find really fascinating. And so this is one way of uncovering your purpose and then figuring out how to live it really consistently.
Yeah, that's interesting. When we talk about like a philosophy, I think it's neat that people think philosophy is just some like airy fairy thing, but philosophies are the questions that drive the thought process and even the science when it comes to anything in life, right?
Like,
so we're going to get the answers we look for by the philosophy we espouse. And I'll just share this as an example so people can kind of put yoga in one picture and then put chiropractic in another. When we, as a chiropractor, the difference really between us, we'll say in a traditional medical philosophy, mm-hmm. just to make it very simple sounding, is one is very vitalistic. And what that means is the sum is more than the parts.
Right.
And one is very mechanistic, which is, you know, we're like a tinker toy set, like where we can take stuff in and put stuff out, or like a puzzle.
Right.
And remove things or whatever it may be. So the medical model is very mechanistic. So we're the sum of our parts, and chiropractic is vitalistic. And the way we ask our questions, whether we're in chiropractic school or even with our patients, is very different than someone that may run to a traditional medical office to get an answer. They're going to be very different, even for the same thing.
Right.
So you can say the same for the way someone, if someone's a someone that practices yoga and understands these like living the sutras, right, understands these philosophies, may be very different than someone that just says, listen, I like to lift weights. And like, it's one is more of an activity, one is more of a lifestyle.
Yes. And I would say within that, like, because I mean, I get this question a lot, but this is a spiritual practice, but it's not a religion. And so if people want to explore the philosophy of this and they're hesitant because they're like, oh, I was raised, you know, Jewish, or I'm practicing Catholic, or whatever it might be, it's meant to support that and even deepen your relationship with whatever faith you practice, or no faith at all. It is very much a spiritual practice and philosophy, but it's not religious doctrine in any way. I think that's a really important distinction to make.
Yeah. So I want to go back to your journalist. I want to circle back for one second. Yeah. So as a journalist, I can only imagine that it can be like a pretty high stress type of job, like searching for people and trying to get people to have conversations with and get answers. And it's like a go, 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 go type of mentality or lifestyle. And then you get yourself introduced to yoga. How did that possibly even help that type of practice of being a journalist?
Yeah.
And even now transitioning to a business owner and running a business that is a yoga studio.
Yeah. They're really complementary, and in ways I think I knew, you know, as a journalist, I go through periods of time where I talk to people a ton, but just as much, if not more often, I'm sitting behind a computer by myself, right? It can be a very solitary job in a lot of ways. And then at the yoga studio, all I'm doing is dealing with people and interacting with people and my teachers and my students and the community. And that those are very different energies, so they can really help fuel each other. I tend to be a very... I like to work, and I tend to be a very type A person in that. And so that actually is very good for me as a journalist. And then the yoga is very good for me to kind of moderate and regulate that, because I don't think it's good for anyone to be in that state all the time. But in a lot of ways, I think they're very complementary jobs. And again, in ways I was very naive, I think, when I opened the studio, and I'm very glad that I was, because I think if I had known what I was actually getting myself into, I'm not sure I would have done it. But the things I thought that I would, the skills I thought that I would need, or what I thought I would be doing, is very different from the reality of that, and in the best way possible now.
Okay.
Interesting.
I think that's neat. You're saying complementary, you know, so they're not against each other. They work with each other at the same time. And so what would you say, you know, at the time of this recording, you know, there's like a global shutdown. We're all stuck in our spaces, if you will. Yeah. And people are more stressed than ever. And we know stress can deplete the way the immune system functions and all sorts of things. So how would you say yoga and maybe putting your headspace into a book like yours, and even just the concepts of yoga, would help?
The quickest and fastest way is actually with breath work. And I mentioned that that's one of the like main eight limbs of yoga. And what happens is when you're exhale is even just a little bit longer than your inhale, mm-hmm. it automatically calms your whole nervous system down. It triggers the parasympathetic response. Mm-hmm. And so if you need to do one thing to calm down or to like relieve that stress, it's just to start focusing on your breath and to extend the exhale. And yoga has a lot of different breathing exercises that are supposed to, there are some that are very energizing that'll like really fire you up. There's some that help with focus and concentration or digestion or any of that. But for anxiety and stress, the one that I would recommend is called 2-to-1 breathing. And you just want to extend your exhale to be twice as long as your inhale. So that's a really simple, straightforward thing to do. I think the other thing, like with our book specifically, I think examining the things, our book is all about self-inquiry, really. And I think examining the things that the habits and the underlying patterns that might be causing that stress will help you relieve it in a much longer term way. And then I think the last piece of it is to help people develop a meditation practice to find that flow state more often. And it doesn't have to involve sitting on a cushion. I think there's this image we all have of like a bearded guru on a mountaintop. It doesn't have to look like that at all. But whatever it is, you know, we talked about for you, it might be running. I really like coloring with my son. Like that can do it for me sometimes. It can be gardening or listening to music or journaling, but whatever it is that gets you into that meditative, focused flow state, I think is really important. And actually one of the exercises we have in the book that I really recommend people do is to just brainstorm all the times and all the places that you are in that state and then start to notice patterns. Like, is it when you're outside? Is it when you're moving? Is it when you're creating? And then that helps you bring more of that into your everyday life. And that just will help you overall calm down and let some of that stress go.
That's a really neat way to think about what can get you into that state, into that meditative flow style state. You know, like it's really, just find out what you love doing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's such a great, great thing. And, you know, with everything that's going on and being able to practice things like that, I think people have the potential to leapfrog out of the situation versus crawl out of it, as many I think will. Because it's really powerful when we can actually start to take ownership of what we love to do and figure out how we can make it part of our life more. And I think that's, I mean, really the direction that you were saying. It's, you know, you start journaling or start writing out that list of what makes me happy, what makes me feel, I'm paraphrasing it, but I think it's a really powerful exercise. I think I'm going to actually go through that again, because I'm sure I can find more things
that do that. When I did it, I realized that everything on my list was like skiing and hiking and running. And I realized that it was being outside and being active and moving. Like there seems, for me personally, I have this internal frenetic energy that needs to be worked out before I can find that calmer headspace. And I think just recognizing what your personal patterns are is really important.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, everybody has adjusted or shifted their routines and their habits in this time. And I think it's interesting to look at which ones are serving us and which ones are not. And then can we hold on to some of the ones that are serving us when we get out of this? So for me, one of the things I had to stop doing for my own anxiety was not looking at my phone first thing in the morning and not reading the news. So I've created a media moat, and there is a 30-minute news-free period of my day in the morning so that I'm not starting off like anxious and kind of worked up. And so I'm reading an actual hardcover book, and it's, you know, nonfiction, and it's not related to pandemics and health. And so, you know, and then I'm in a better headspace to start my day. And I'll be really curious to see if I can hold on to that habit when we're out of this.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Because I think it's interesting when you look at, I'm sure you studied, you know, and read quite a bit in your life as someone that's, you know, focused on yoga and obviously being a journalist, you're probably reading a lot more than most people. But when we study people that are successful, those morning habits are really, they can define our day and then eventually define our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think that's a powerful one, you know, putting the phone down, I joke with people saying like, we're usually never three. I'm looking where mine is now. We're usually never 3 feet from our phone.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
It really is. So that's good. Like, so when we do our yoga practice in our living room on our floor, it's good that my phone gets to go like over there. It's on silent. I don't hear any of the dings or notifications, and we can just be. And I think it's interesting. And now that you say that, I found myself about a year ago when I started getting into longer and longer distance running, that when I run, my phone is always on me just for emergencies, but every single notification is off.
Like, yeah.
I don't pay attention to the outside world anymore. I mean, my environment, yes, but nothing coming in.
Nothing. Yeah.
Interesting. That's a neat concept. So I hope you can keep your morning that way.
Our mornings have been so much calmer and so much more relaxed. I mean, we're also not like rushing out the door to get to school and to work and all of that. So I don't know. I really hope that we can keep a calmer pace in the morning. I don't know how we do that, but we'll see.
All right, cool. So I'll actually want to ask you a set of three. Actually, it's only one question with three answers to finish up here. So if you were to tell any person that's listening, you know, in order for you to unleash your human potential just a little bit more, what three things would you tell them to do today?
Today, I would say breathe slowly and consciously. I think when we pay attention to our breath, it can be really powerful. And you have to be almost quiet and still to do that. So it lets you go a little internal too, which is important. Mm-hmm. I would say practice yoga, and it doesn't have to be physical. I'm a firm believer that you can do down dog and never practice yoga, and you can practice yoga and absolutely never do down dog. So that thing that puts you in that state, go do that. Make sure you do that for yourself at least 5 minutes every day, if not longer. And then just go hug somebody. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're talking while we're all in the midst of this health crisis, and that's harder. Just, I think really people are the most important reason we're here, is to serve each other. And I think one of the easiest and quickest ways you can serve someone else and yourself is just a giant hug. So.
That's absolutely awesome. I love those three. So everyone, make sure you head over to her website. If you scroll down in the show notes, you will get all of her details. And when you're there, check out her books. She's got a few of them on there. Check out her podcast and some of the articles she's written. I encourage you to do this. Connect with her on social. She's a fellow New Yorker. So for those New Yorkers listening, come on. She did grow up here. But all kidding aside, Kelly, this has been a great conversation. I'm really glad to be able to connect with someone that was so close to home. But, you know, it's really neat to see that there are great people in this world, that people are serving their passion and their purpose like you are. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Hey, everyone. I hope you did enjoy that episode with Kelly DiNardo. As we said before, make sure you do check out the show notes to get all of her details, to connect with her, to get her books. Everything that we've already said. But I want to make sure you also hang in here and check out the 3065 Lifestyle Shift promo video. It's about 3 minutes long. It's really awesome. We put a lot of energy and effort into it. And if you are starting your lifestyle health journey, this is something you're going to want to watch. And then you're going to want to dive a little bit deeper and connect with other videos that you can teach you more about the program and about how you can be helped. So check out the next video. I appreciate you. Talk soon. Hey, it's Dr. Josh Hant here, and we need to talk about your health, your fitness, and your lifestyle. I know you, if you're like me, you've seen sickness and disease and even death in your life. And we know the leading causes of death in the United States are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Many of these conditions and diseases are considered lifestyle-based. And I know that lifestyles in the United States and other countries are not where they should be. We also know that they make you more vulnerable to other sicknesses and conditions. We tend to get our advice and recommendations on health from commercials and marketing, from fast food to pharmaceuticals, and not from experts with real world experience. Unfortunately, we follow people or products who don't walk the walk or talk the talk. They simply just don't care about your health. It's just about their bottom line. I know we've heard it from our friends and from even our own self-talk that we don't have enough time, we can't make the changes, or there's just too much to do to be healthy. But there is a way to actually take control of your lifestyle and have the accountability and the support you need. We can be bigger than our excuses. For the past 14 years as a chiropractor, I've worked and continue to work with thousands of patients with their lifestyle and ultimately their health. I am now bringing the same philosophy to the online space where we can work as a group to get better, stronger, healthier, and be bigger than our excuses every single day. I've created the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program to be an online-based, training-based program where you get to learn and be engaged with others in your journey towards a healthy lifestyle and ultimately a healthier life. To be part of this amazing movement, it's just $5 a month. Yes, it's only $5 a month, and that seems too good to be true. Well, it's not. So for the price of a gourmet coffee, you will have access to an amazing program and amazing people that want the best for you too. So when you dive into the content below this video to learn about our lifestyle philosophy, you'll see that we are incredibly unique. No other online program focuses on lifestyle the way we do and delivers the quality and the quantity of content that we do for just $5 a month. And it's not just about the movement. There's a lot more. It's really about your health. So check out the details and other videos below. And when you sign up, I'll even send you the ebook, Inside the Locker, which dives deeper into creating an awesome lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the Lifestyle Locker 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program. Hey, it's Dr. Josh Hant here, and we need to talk about your health, your fitness, and your lifestyle. I know you, if you're like me, you've seen sickness and disease and even death in your life. And we know the leading causes of death in the United States are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Many of these conditions and diseases are considered lifestyle-based. And I know that lifestyles in the United States and other countries are not where they should be. We also know that they make you more vulnerable to other sicknesses and conditions. We tend to get our advice and recommendations on health from commercials and marketing, from fast food to pharmaceuticals, and not from experts with real world experience. Unfortunately, we follow people or products who don't walk the walk or talk the talk. They simply just don't care about your health. It's just about their bottom line. I know we've heard it from our friends and from even our own self-talk that we don't have enough time, we can't make the changes, or there's just too much to do to be healthy. But there is a way to actually take control of your lifestyle and have the accountability and the support you need. We can be bigger than our excuses. For the past 14 years as a chiropractor, I've worked and continue to work with thousands of patients with their lifestyle and ultimately their health. I am now bringing the same philosophy to the online space where we can work as a group to get better, stronger, healthier, and be bigger than our excuses every single day. I've created the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program to be an online-based, training-based program where you get to learn and be engaged with others in your journey towards a healthy lifestyle and ultimately a healthier life. To be part of this amazing movement, it's just $5 a month. Yes, it's only $5 a month, and that seems too good to be true. Well, it's not. So for the price of a gourmet coffee, you will have access to an amazing program and amazing people that want the best for you too. So when you dive into the content below this video to learn about our lifestyle philosophy, you'll see that we are incredibly unique. No other online program focuses on lifestyle the way we do and delivers the quality and the quantity of content that we do for just $5 a month. And it's not just about the movement. There's a lot more. It's really about your health. So check out the details and other videos below. And when you sign up, I'll even send you the ebook, Inside the Locker, which dives deeper into creating an awesome lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the Lifestyle Locker 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program.